Imagine showing up to your own wedding so violently ill that instead of exchanging vows, you're literally given the last rites by a priest.
Yeah, that is quite the way to kick things off.
Right. But that was the actual stark reality for Arthur Lheureux on his wedding day to Lucille Lambert back in 1906. Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're bringing a very specific chapter of your family history to life, zeroing in exclusively on Arthur.
And it is the ultimate false start. But what really stands out isn't just that he survived that day, it's how that physical endurance kind of defined the rest of his life.
Yeah, because he recovers. And together, he and Lucille raise 15 children.
15. And there's almost this, I don't know, mystical quality to that survival passing down the lineage. Their seventh son, Ulrich, actually possessed a gift of healing that was recognized by a bishop.
Wait, like officially recognized?
Exactly. When he was just a little boy, he famously cured a neighbor's total deafness.
Wow. Going from a deathbed wedding to raising a recognized healer is just a staggering pivot. And Arthur clearly poured that same unstoppable vitality into the land, too.
Yeah.
Every spring, he'd head to his dad's ranch, rope wild broncos, and physically break them to the harness.
Oh, yeah, he'd send them back fully trained.
Yeah, and he eventually scaled all that raw horsepower into a massive threshing outfit. Looking at the logistics, six teams of horses, a bunkhouse, a rolling cookhouse, it honestly reminds me less of a farm and more of a military forward operating base.
I mean, that is exactly the mechanism at play. On the frontier, you just couldn't rely on returning to town for supplies. A forward operating base works by extending your supply lines directly to the front.
Right, so you aren't burning daylight.
Exactly. By bringing the cook and the beds with them, Arthur's crew could push deeper into the field and harvest continuously. He engineered a completely self-sustaining ecosystem.
Which he definitely needed when the Great Depression hit. I mean, when gas became an impossible luxury, he built what they called a Bennett buggy.
But he didn't just, tie a horse to the bumper of his Model T Ford.
No, he actually stripped the heavy engine out entirely to lighten the load, retrofitting the chassis with draft tackle so the horses could pull it safely. He even leveraged a simple gas lamp to get his family into local dances for free.
Oh, right, just by providing the venue's lighting. He was constantly engineering his way around poverty.
He really was. But okay, his absolute masterpiece of prairie logistics had to be in 1925. He bought a vacant two-story bank building and hired a contractor to move it a mile and a half to his farm,
Using 28 teams of horses.
which is 56 horses. I was trying to map out the physics of this in my head.
Yeah.
56 horses pulling a two-story building. If you just hitch them all up and yell go, the building tears itself apart, right?
Oh, absolutely. If the front horses pull before the back ones, the chains snap tight.
And the sheer torque would twist the timber framing into splinters.
Precisely. It requires absolute mastery of draft mechanics. The Teamsters had to orchestrate those 56 horses to lean into their collars at the exact same fraction of a second. It's an immense distribution of weight.
It's mind-boggling. And what's remarkable is Arthur's temperament through all these unimaginably stressful tasks. When chains snapped or crops failed, he never cursed.
It's whistled.
Yeah, he just whistled. And that whistling becomes really profound when you see what the prairie threw at him next. By 1933, the drought was absolute.
Right, he had to move his entire farm.
Lock, stock, and barrel to Leoville. Livestock, wagons, Lucille driving the Bennett buggy, a grueling 100-mile trip that took 17 days.
Because they traveled during the spring thaw, they were dragging heavy wagons through deep, sucking mud. And when a horse sinks in mud, a literal vacuum forms around its hooves.
God, that sounds awful.
It is. Overcoming that suction required Arthur to sometimes wrap chains directly around the horse's neck, just to leverage them out of the mire without breaking their legs.
They survived all that mud, and he eventually opened up a blacksmith shop. But the universe just wasn't done testing him.
No, it wasn't.
While working at the forge, a stray piece of metal flew up and struck him in the eye, blinding it. And the crushing weight of this moment, it was his only good eye.
It is a devastating blow to endure the drought, uproot your entire life, and then face a sudden, permanent blinding. It tests the very limits of human endurance. Yet, he continued to adapt.
His physical journey ended in 1940 when he passed away from stomach cancer. And even his final transport was brutally hard. His sons had to move his body in the back of an open truck during a blizzard.
Taking 6 hours for what should have been a 2-hour trip, they nearly froze to death themselves.
It's a sobering reality of the era. It brings into sharp focus the immense labor required just to exist. And we cannot forget Lucille's parallel endurance through all this, raising those 15 kids and canning 400 quarts of wild berries a year entirely by hand.
By hand. It was an epic partnership.
It really was. As we close this chapter of your family's history, I keep coming back to Arthur's whistle. Facing ruined crops, a lost eye, and crushing depressions, a whistle feels entirely inadequate.
Well, unless it was a psychological tool, a deliberate choice.
Right. Out on the prairie, you can't control the drought, the mud, or the flying metal. The only thing you truly own is your reaction. Arthur's whistle wasn't just a quirky habit. It was a refusal to let the chaos break his internal locus of control.
I love that.
So as you reflect on Arthur's incredible resilience, ask yourself, when you encounter an immovable obstacle in your own life, what is your whistle?